welcome to Crossville First Church of the Nazarene. How's everybody this morning? I have this week's announcements. Choir practice is at 5 tonight. Please come. Marcy appreciates it. And we're doing Christmas, so if you want to come, it's still not too late. You can come. Small groups tonight at 6. Trail Life tomorrow night at 6:30 in the Family Life Center. And then we also have parents' introductory meeting for American Heritage Girls. So if you know any girls, 5 to 18, they're having a meeting, and that's going to be at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. And that's tomorrow night. Wednesday services are at 6. And we got MOPS on Thursday. The morning session is 9:30 to 11. And then we have the evening, 6 to 7:30. Thank you to everybody that's been helping out with that, bringing snacks and helping. Appreciate that very much. Prayer time, Friday morning at 9 a.m. The doors are open, and that is for anyone, everyone. You do not have to belong to the church. Anyone that needs prayer, come Friday morning at 9 o'clock. Young at Heart, end of summer cookout. Today's definitely feels like end of summer. No summer anymore. That cookout is this Saturday from 2 to 4. The deadline to sign up is today. So I think that sign-up sheet is still out there in the foyer. Make sure to sign up for that so Gail knows who's coming. Then the Young at Heart is already planning Christmas event, a white Christmas. I think you guys are going to the Playhouse to see that. The deadline to sign up is next Sunday for that. So make sure to sign up for that. We are still collecting candy for the Fall Festival. That's here in just a couple of weeks. I mean, that October 28th is our Fall Festival, 4 to 7. So bring in your candy. We got the barrel out there in the foyer. Also, if you see canned drinks on sale, please bring me some canned drinks. I'm doing the Coke ring toss. And so the kids, if they get it on that 2-liter, the ring on there, that they get a canned Coke. So if you see some on sale, please bring me some to hand out to the kids. We are also starting Children's and Teens Prayer Partners, and that's going to be starting in January. So if you are interested, see Jim DeBrow. He's got the sign-up sheet, and we need adults who are willing to pray for our kids, with our kids, for them, for our kids and teens. So make sure to please see Jim for that. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving, and thank you all for being here this morning. It's good to see you.
Thank you. Let's stand as you're able. We're going to sing together this first song we have sang a couple of times here, but hopefully you will remember it and sing to the King. Next one is a new one. At least the verse is going to be new to you. About 3 years ago at District Assembly, Garen Brown, who was leading the singing during that District Assembly, sang this song. And I can't tell you what it did to me then. Couldn't find the song. And this week, as we've been going through all that's happening in our world, it's been kind of a trying week, hasn't it? Amen. When you look at the news and you see all that's going on. I was going through my feed on Facebook. I do that early in the morning and late at night. So if you send me something midday, don't look for me to answer on Messenger. This song came up. Friday when the ladies were down in the Family Life Center walking, I went down there with the words. So 6 other people in here besides me know this. And if you don't want to sing the verses, please read what's on the screen. Because I'm telling you, these are powerful words. They are powerful words for what we need right now. So I want you to sing. You'll know the chorus. We all know the chorus. It's a wonderful chorus. But I want you to listen to what these verses have to say. Amen. One day you'll
us, one day you will bind every wound. The former things shall all pass away, no more tears. One day you'll make sense of it all, Jesus. One day every question resolved.
Do what this next song says, okay? I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. broken pieces. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are what you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I longed for. You have given life to me.
Let us pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we acknowledge this day. And Lord, I know, Lord, all throughout this sanctuary this morning, there are needs. I see people this morning, Lord, who we've been praying for. And I thank you, Lord, that they're here this morning. But God, I know that through all your grace and love you have bestowed upon us, there are others, oh God, that we need to continue to pray for. And I pray for this church. Lord, we have gathered here in this place called a house of prayer. And God, we come with many needs and petitions before us and our families and our neighbors and through this country, Lord, and through the world, how we need you.
Yes.
Oh God, come in a marvelous way this morning. Speak to some hearts, oh God, and move them to a place, oh God, where they surrender all to you. Lord, we love you and how we love each other. May it be made known through the lives we lived. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jack. You may be seated. Pastor Tyler went to a conference on Friday and Saturday in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And it was also their anniversary, their 11th anniversary. And he told Brianna that's where they were going on their anniversary. And something else he said, Susie took his hat and hit him, so I was a little concerned about him. Jack's going to stay away from Susie now. So anyway, I want to speak to you this morning from Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at this series, A Place to Belong, and we started off that first Sunday that we were in this series on about talking about a place to belong. The next week we talked about that this is a place of prayer and that our hearts and lives need to be a place of prayer. We had a general superintendent here, and then last week we talked about a place to share. And this morning we're going to look at this message from Acts chapter 6 verses 1 through 7 on a place to serve. It's interesting. Some of the passages that you find in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 25 and then also in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is about to be crucified. And yet the night before this most horrific event in his life, you find Jesus taking a towel and a basin of water and going around to each of the disciples and washing their feet. And he says to them in both of those passages, and I'm going to read from Mark chapter 10, verse 45. We're going to get to Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 7 here in just a second. But in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." For us, that the washing of the feet, you know, that's not something that we do when somebody comes into our house. But it was something that they did on a regular basis. It was something that the lowest of the low of all the servants did. And here Jesus, in one simple gesture as a servant, really shows us who he was and what kind of people we should be. He came to serve. And in his death on the cross, he really served all of humanity for those who would believe in him. He is their Savior. Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Anyone can be great because anyone can serve." Wow. I think he's right. Well, was Jesus great? Well, you know the answer to that. I don't have to tell you the answer to that. He was indeed. That question doesn't need answering. But he was great because he was God's servant. He was great because he was God's son. He was great because of what he came to do for you and for me and for the entire world, those who would put their trust in him. But greatness is open to all.
It's open to anyone who would desire and who would become a servant. The problem is, many times serving is fine as long as it's someone else doing it. You know? As long as someone else is doing it, then it's okay. But the church here in Acts chapter 6 faces a crisis. Now, if you go back to January, you're going to find that I preached from this same passage of Scripture, but this is a different message, so be assured of that. But the church is facing a crisis here in Acts chapter 6, and something had to be done. And I've been told that the word in Chinese for crisis is made up of two symbols, one meaning danger and the other meaning opportunity. And if that is the case, then what you have here in the church in Acts chapter 6 was a dangerous opportunity. And how God began to move and how God began to help and the things that God began to do in the church. And so let's look at this crisis. You remember it, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Isn't it amazing when things are going real well how some little something at some point in time can really stir up problems and begin to create issues? And Luke basically says that this came on the church kind of suddenly. It was an unexpected crisis that began to really threaten to rip apart the early church. And it was how they handled this crisis that opened up and became an opportunity that really opens up and shows us that the early church was a place of service. And not only was the early church a place of service, but you find that the church, this congregation is to be a place of service. You find God's hand of blessing on what happened. Even when bad things rose up, God began to move and good things began to occur. You go back and you begin to study this and you're going to find that Acts chapter 6 occurs at the end of a period of a persecution. And it was through that persecution that the church grew stronger. Acts chapter 4 tells us that it was a time of unusual spiritual unity and they were sharing possessions. But then in chapter 5, you know all that happens there with Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, you begin to look at all these things. All of these things are happening and all of a sudden the church has a major issue. But in 7 verses, Luke begins to describe the problem. He describes the solution. He describes the results. And if you don't know, that's a 3-point sermon, and I'm about to preach it to you. How about that? The first thing that I want you to see this morning is the problem. Look at verse 1. It says, "In those days when the number of disciples were increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food." It's the first case of real conflict that we show happening in the church. It comes about because the church had grown so fast that it basically had outdone the ability of the apostles to handle it. I mean, thousands were becoming part of that movement. I mean, how do you go from 0 church members to 3,000 church members in one Sunday? We've got great facilities, but I'm going to tell you, if we went from what we've got to 3,000 in one Sunday, we'd have problems seating everybody. We would try, you know. Put them in the parking lot. we would do something. And thousands are growing, a thousand are joining the church, and it was inevitable that in this process something was bound to happen. And the problem happened because you had two different groups of Jewish people here. You had the Hebraic Jewish people who were from Jerusalem. They were the Jewish people. They were those who had been born and raised there in Jerusalem. But then you had the Grecian Jews. These were probably Jews that had been born elsewhere, all over the Middle East at that point in time. We know that some of these were converts to Judaism, and we know that some of these were not only converts to Judaism, but they were converts to Christianity. And so what you have the widows who are there, and it was the church's responsibility, or they took it as their responsibility, to feed those widows, because if somebody did not feed those widows would have starved. If they didn't have family, they didn't have anything to eat. If they didn't have family, they had nothing. And so this became a recipe for trouble, because you've got those who were hometown people and those who were out of town people. I get so amused. I've got where I don't even look at it, but I get so amused at Crossville chitter chatter. Can I tell you what that reminds me of sometimes? It reminds me of this right here. Because you have a lot of us who are not from Crossville, and then you have people who are from Crossville. And sometimes conflicts arise. And it's kind of amusing. It's kind of heartbreaking. But that's what you really have going on right here. You have those who were hometown people, those who were not. And there arises this situation where these who were not hometown people felt like that they should be taken care of as well as the hometown people. And they were right. They should have been taken care of. And we can look at this and we can say, that is a minor problem. I mean, I have seen churches split over the color of the carpeting. One church that I pastored, not while I was there, okay, before I ever got there, while they were building a new building, they split over whether or not the air conditioning duct should be down the side of the building or should be in the attic. We laugh at that, but I'm going to tell you, some of the things that we get ourselves upset about are about as silly. I mean, you begin to look at this. How should we handle this? What should we do? That is the problem that you have going on right here. And so the disciples, they began to come up with the solution. Look at verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. And they presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. You begin there with verse 2, and it shows us how the disciples began to handle the problem. The first thing that they did is they set some priorities. They set some priorities. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together. And then they make this statement. They said it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait tables. Now that did not mean that they were too good to do that. But what it did mean is there were other responsibilities. There were priorities that had to take place in the church. And someone else could begin to do those ministries. They could begin to serve in those areas. In just a few weeks, the church board is going to be gathering on a Friday night and then also on a Saturday morning. And we're going to begin to look and see what our priorities are as a church. We've had a mission statement for a long, long time. It's been in place for about 6 or 7, maybe 8 years. But we're going to look at that mission statement and we're going to begin to examine, does that fit us here and now? Because we've been through COVID. We've been through a lot of different things in that period of time. Is that where we are, or do we need to re-examine why we are here? You remember last week I told you it's not all about the how, but it is all about the why. And we have to set priorities. We have to look. We have to see what is going on in our world. What is our ministry here in Crossville supposed to be? How are we going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish? William can have all kinds of ideas. And I'm just going to tell you, I know you're going to find this hard to believe. I mean, I really do understand you're going to find this hard to believe. Some of the ideas that I've had across the years have not been good ones. The sad part about that statement is it was recorded and it goes out on Facebook. I mean, you know, that's the sad part about this. The greatest thing that we can do is not find our human answers. The greatest thing that we can do as a church is find God's solutions, you see. And they begin to make a plan. They begin to make a plan. I mean, it begins with congregational involvement because he says here, brothers, choose 7 men from among you. And then not only does it talk about congregational involvement, but it also gives the qualifications because they say, we want these guys to be known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And then there was some delegation that was involved because at that point in time they said, okay, if these guys that you choose are full of the Spirit and wisdom, then we're going to give this ministry, we're going to give this area of service over to them. And they said, in the meantime, we're going to continue to study and pray and find God's will as we lead this congregation. It's an amazing thing. It is an amazing thing because when you look at all this, that was exactly what needed to happen. There's another interesting thing that I had never noticed before until I began to study this week and began to look at this week. Do you realize that every one of those names that are mentioned is a Greek name, which means they came out of the Grecian Jews? I had never noticed that before. They used those people to begin to minister, and they began to do whatever needed to be done. And there was a commissioning. One of the favorite, and I've told you this before, one of my most favorite things at District Assembly, I really could do without the rest of District Assembly, especially me having to give up and give a report. You know, it unnerves me to have to do that. But my favorite thing to do at District Assembly is either to be in the choir, or as when I was district secretary on Alabama North and also in Louisiana, to be able to lead those ordinands down and read off their names and read off their testimonies to that district assembly and stand there as the general superintendent questions those about their call, first of all about their salvation and their sanctification and their call. And then he tells them what's expected of them. And then he preaches after the elders' choir sings. And then he comes and he lays his hands on them. I remember in Jasper, Alabama, as I was kneeling in the center of the church that day, and Dr. Eugene Stowe, and if any of you remember Dr. Stowe had the voice of God, I'm telling you. Such a deep voice. And he laid his hands on my head. And he just didn't lightly touch. When I anoint somebody, I don't, you know, smack them. But he laid his hands on my head and it just seemed like he pushed down. And the longer I've thought about that across the years, the more I've thought of the weight of the responsibility that is passed at that point in time to someone who is kneeling before God and kneeling before a congregation and being commissioned to serve the church and the church. And it says that they brought them together and they laid their hands on them and they prayed over them and sent them out into ministry. But let me tell you this, folks. You don't have to be an ordained elder in the Church of the Nazarene to serve in the church. You don't have to be an ordained elder in the Church of the Nazarene to share your faith or to teach a Sunday school class or to deal with issues that are going on in the church. You see, we have all, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we have all been given a commission to serve. That's part of the whole solution. Okay? So you have here the problem and you have the solution. And that's great, but I want you to look at the results. Look at the results. Verse 7, I'm telling you, brings it all down to where we are. So the word of God spread rapidly, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem grew and spread rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Wow. I mean, you look at that, and it was by this interruption. It was by this crisis. It was by this problem that God brought about an expansion in the ministry of the church. Sometimes we have to really get our eyes focused on what God is wanting and how God is going to minister. And I mean, I look at this. This whole thing shows that when priorities are in right position, that results begin to flow. I mean, the reality of it is an impossibility for just a few people to do the work of the local church. We elect a church board, and I'm so thankful for that group of men and women who serve and who lead us and who listen to me and they listen to Tyler. And we go through all of these situations and circumstances, and sometimes they have to deal with stuff that you don't know anything about. It's not because we're trying to hide it from you. It's just because we need to take care of those situations. But I do want you to understand that 9 people on a church board cannot carry out the ministry of this local church. There's no way. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you're going to see what Paul says there about the variety of spiritual gifts that are in the body. And folks, a pastor who is in absentia today. 3 of us can't do it either. We all have to come together, and we may not all have the same gifts. Some of you have the gift of hospitality, and I'm so thankful for our ushers and our greeters and who stay out there, and our shepherds who stay out there during the service, and they watch over us and they care for us. And some of you have bright and shining faces. And can I tell you something? Mary Stark would love to have you sign up to be a greeter. She's back there shaking her head. All kinds of things that have to go on in this church. And by using, please get this, by using the gift that God has given you, you bless this church. You bless people who come to this church. You bless those who aren't here yet but are going to come to this church. But can I tell you who's going to get the greatest blessing out of that? You will. Went to Kentucky to minister to those people who were in that flood, fell off a ladder, pulled a piriformis muscle. Now, if you don't know what a piriformis muscle is, I'll tell you after church, okay? It has to do with the sitting down part. But this week, yesterday we were down in that little storage building, and we were moving stuff And I was telling them about the little house that guy was living in. You know, I still pray for that young man every day. I don't know him from Adam's house cat. I know where he lives. I couldn't take you there, but I know where he lives. But can I tell you, I think back on all of that and realize what a great blessing it was to be able to serve in that capacity. And I'm not telling you that to pat myself on the back. I'm telling you that you always get more blessing from what you do than what you receive. The church was touched. The church was helped. and God moved. It's also interesting to me that when you read this, it says that a large number of the priests became obedient to him. Even those who should not have even been looking their way, all of a sudden realized that this group of people had something that they needed. And they became followers of Jesus as the word of God spread rapidly. Conclusion. The early church was a place of service. It was a place of service. Well, what can we learn? Let me give you four truths, okay? We can learn, as I've already said, that we've got to get our priorities in order. And that may involve getting our own personal priorities in order. Because sometimes we can have our own personal priorities out of order. And God is speaking and saying, you need to be involved in this area of the church, or you need to be involved in this area of the church, or you need to get involved in a community something. I don't know what God is saying to you, but I do know this much. God wants us all to get our priorities in order for the work of the Lord. Some of you need to step up. Some of you need to step up and begin to move into areas of service that you've never been in before. You say, Pastor, it scares me to death. I know. You don't see my hands as I wring them every Sunday before I come up here. This was not my idea of fun. And I've been doing it 40 years and have loved every minute of it. You see, when we begin to do what God has called us to do and what God wants us to do, it just overflows. And we can feel His presence and we can know His power in ways that we would never, ever know it before. Not to mention the blessing that other people are going to receive. Not to mention the fact that we've got to be involved in ministry in some form or fashion if we're going to be all that God wants us to be. I walked into Our Lady of the Lake Hospital knowing that that Carla was bad. She had been bad for quite some time, and they weren't real sure what was going to happen to her. And Susie was with me, and we walked up there and to her room, and Carla had had health problems for a long, long, long time. And she was telling me what she wanted me to do for Aaron, who was her grandson. And we had picked Aaron up a lot of Sundays and brought him to church. And Aaron is a neat kid. He's artistic. Oh, my goodness, he's so artistic. And she lay there in that bed. Carla had been in a wheelchair for a long, long time, but And let me say this about Carla. Carla had hardly anything. And when they would have class parties and all that kind of stuff, it was Carla's responsibility to bring the rolls. They knew that she could get to the store and she could get rolls. And so she brought rolls to all their class parties. She lay there in the bed. And she had a little bit of a Cajun accent, Creole accent. Anyway, Pasta, that's how she said it. It was never pastor, it was always pasta. And she said, Pastor, I can't do much. And I said, I understand that, Carla. She said, there's lots that needs to be done. I said, I understand that, Carla. She said, but Pastor, I want you to understand that I pray for the people of that church. All she could do. She was bedridden at that point in time. That's all she could do. But she felt a sense of obligation because of what God had done in her and what God had done for her, that she had to be involved in some way in what God was doing in the church. We want you all to pray. We want you all to pray. But we've also got to have hands and feet that are active in the ministry of the church. And so I want to tell you, the early church was a place of service, but please understand, this is a place of service. And someone has said, you'll never be more like Jesus than when you are serving someone else. Isn't that wonderful? You'll never be more like Jesus than when you are serving someone else. And God is looking for us to be willing to serve. He's looking for you to be a part of what he's doing in his kingdom here in this church. And I said something last Sunday morning. I've had two or three people ask me about it. I understand last week I talked about sharing. But please know this. What we're doing as a corporate body does not relieve us of our individual responsibility. We have to be active in the kingdom of God. So, where do you fit in this place of service? What do you need God to do in you and through you and for you so that you can do what he's calling you to do? And I believe, I'm not saying this just because it's the conclusion of a message. I believe God has been calling some of you to do some things and you've been sitting there saying, I don't think I can. I ran from the call to ministry for 10 years because I didn't think I could. And here I am 40-something years later, grateful for what God has helped me to do, because I'm still scared to death when I stand up in front of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can read about this place of service. It was a problem that came up. It was a big problem. But thank you, Lord, you had the solution. And because that church followed your solution, the results were unbelievable. The church grew rapidly. People that should not even have looked toward the church were looking toward the church and getting in the church because they saw what God was doing through the church. So, Lord, I ask you that you would bless us and that you would help us. Lord, there are those in this congregation that you are placing a call of ministry on their lives. It may not be a call to be an elder in the Church of the Nazarene, but it may be a call to help in some ministry that's already going on in this church. But you're calling God. Even in just the past few weeks, we've seen some step up and say, this is something I can do, so I'm going to do it. And I praise God for that. But Lord, we need you. We need your priorities to become our priorities. We need you to work in our hearts and lives. We need you to move in our church so that our church can move into our community and reach and to win people who are lost and undone without Jesus. And so we thank you for your word. We thank you for these that have listened to your word this morning. Now, Lord, give us obedient hearts. Give us willing hands. Give us feet that are really, really willing to go out and to do what you have called us to do. We give you glory and honor and praise and believe you for the miracle that is going to happen. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I wonder if there might be those this morning that maybe you just need to come and say yes to God. We're not going to have any music. We're not going to have anything like that. Maybe you need to come and bow here in this altar. If you can't sit in the altar, you can sit on these pews these front chairs because they're empty. But maybe this morning you need to come and just say, God, whatever you are calling me to do, that is what I am willing to do. Are there those who need to do that this morning? God, I'm going to do what you call me to do. I'm going to be what you want me to be. I am here, God. I am available to you. Are there others? There are some that have come this morning. Maybe you need to join them. God, I'm here. I'll do what you want me to do. Are there others? Thank you, Lord, for willing hearts. And maybe there's some here this morning, Lord. They couldn't find the courage that they need to step out and to come to the front to do this, but right where they're sitting this morning, they're saying, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. And we thank you and we praise you in advance for what you're going to accomplish in this church. For Lord, you have great and mighty things in store for us. We just simply need to be obedient to you. So Lord, bless, help, use us. And for the good things that are going to happen because of the obedience of your people, we thank you and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll allow those of you who would like to if you want to be dismissed, you can. But we're going to let these stay as long as they want to. Or if they're through, that's fine. But may God bless you. John? Let's pray for it. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have called us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so this morning, we see all that's happening in our world, and sometimes it can get very disconcerting. Lord, we don't know what to think. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do, but we're thankful that we serve a God who is in control. And we're grateful, Lord, that you know all things, the beginning from the end. And so we trust you this morning that you are going to bring about your purpose and your calling in the hearts and lives of people. May through this, people look to you and find you real to their soul. And we love you and we praise you and we thank you in advance for peace that only comes through Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'm glad you were here this morning. Choir practice at 5, small groups at 6. Lord bless you.